I solemnly assure you, do not be surprised that I tell you, you must all be begotten from above. This discourse of our Lord with Nicodemus is very important in the life of the Church, for it illustrates to us many mysteries of our faith, and most particularly, by it we are called to reflect upon what it was that our Lord truly did for us. For we often fail to reflect upon the fall of our first parents, what really transpired, and hence we miss the significance of the restoration of our souls in Christ, and that is what our Lord is trying to bring Nicodemus to the knowledge of. We see very clearly, as in yesterday's Gospel, how wonderfully our Lord treated people, for Nicodemus even gets a little bit smug with our Lord, but our Lord only takes the opportunity to try to instruct him and to bring him to a greater faith. For as he said, Nicodemus was a man not far from the kingdom of heaven, and he would come to possess that kingdom because he would come to possess the knowledge of what Christ was trying to do and the grace to truly be transformed as the Lord came to. And so we reflect upon the fall of our first parents. For when our Lord teaches, he teaches always in the light of the original creation. Why is it that we must be born again? Because we had lost something in our first birth, that is, our creation. And so the Lord tries to begin to instruct here Nicodemus and all of us as to what was lost. We often don't reflect that what was lost by our first parents was precisely what the devil promised them that they would attain. They had already attained a share in the divine nature, and yet they allowed themselves to be completely blinded to what they had, and tried to grasp after a phantom, tried to grasp after a false notion of what it truly meant to participate in the Godhead. And so our Lord came in order, as he says in today's Gospel, to be delivered up, to be lifted up like the serpent was lifted up in the desert, so that all men may be restored. And we must understand that what Adam and Eve had from the beginning was not something that they were entitled to by their nature, but they were elevated by grace to a supernatural level. And so we too, by the grace of Christ, are elevated to a supernatural level. And this does more than give us the ability to obey the Decalogue, to put the commandments into practice, for it elevates us beyond our very nature and makes us capable of becoming children of God. And so when we are in the state of grace, we are in the state of sanctifying grace, and we are indeed pleasing in the eyes of God. And that is what it means to be created in the image and likeness of God. Adam and Eve were created in the image and likeness of God because by his grace they were elevated above their human nature, incapable, made with the capacity to participate in the beatific vision. And that is what Christ came to restore to mankind. And so we must not worry about what men think, for as Scripture tells us, we are what we are in the eyes of God. And so we must, especially in this day and age, not be worried about human respect, not be worried about what others may think of us, but strive always and everywhere to maintain that holiness that God has given us in order that we may attain the vision of himself for all eternity in heaven. Indeed, we see many philosophies that are tainted with a sort of error, and indeed even the philosopher Pascal, in his wager argument for the existence of God, seems to be more concerned with human respect than with truly being transformed into God, because we do not put into practice, we do not obey the Decalogue, as he would say, for even if God does not exist, by obeying the commandments of God, we will be held higher in the esteem of other men. That is not the purpose of Christ's transformation, for it counts little what other men hold us to be or what others think us to be. For as was said, we are what we are in the eyes of God, and so we must strive each and every moment in our lives to preserve that restoration of the soul that Christ came to give to us, that he truly, truly has restored all things in himself, that he has again elevated us above our natural means to a supernatural level. And so all the gifts we have by nature, we know through faith, were given to us in order to serve the supernatural level. And so there can be no separation of the natural order and the supernatural order. There are no such things as secular saints, or as St. Augustine said, the virtues of the pagans are nothing but beautiful vices. Everything we have been given in order to be elevated above ourselves, incapable of attaining union with the Godhead. If we fail to attain this union, then we attain union with Satan and his minions for all eternity. And that is truly what is at stake. Will we allow our souls to truly maintain that pristine restoration by struggling through all the faults and failings of our lives, or will we allow the world to lure us as Satan first lured our first parents and construct the faith as to something other than what Christ has revealed it to be, to make the work that Christ did something less than it truly is, as Satan made our parents first believe, or as they deliberately blinded themselves to the fact that they had already attained union with the divinity, that they had already, by grace, participated in the divine nature. And so we too are truly restored, or as Saint Bonaventure says, we even have something greater than what our first parents lost. For by our cooperation with the grace of God, we can merit each and every moment of our lives a greater glory in heaven. That is, we can participate in the praise and worship of God for all eternity in a higher way if we stay in union with Him. And so, let us strive most particularly through the greatest of His gifts, the maternal protection of His mother in our lives. Let us strive each and every moment to maintain that holiness that God has restored our souls to, so that we may praise His holiness for all eternity in heaven.